Hello, everyone. Welcome to From the Hip, another edition curated by Dawn Burks. Today, I am joined by longtime Dallas Morning News editor Selwyn Crawford. Tell the people hi.
How you doing, Dawn? How you doing, people?
You know we're good. You know we're good. You guys, you are in for a treat because Sel and I can get it in.
That's true. Go get it, as Herschel Walker would say.
So, like, last time you were up in here, we were talking about one subject in particular. We talked about Jackie Robinson.
Right.
Now we're going to swing all the way to the other fence.
Swing. I see what you did. I see what you did.
You see what I did there?
I see what you did there, Dawn. All right.
All the way. And we got OJ out on parole.
Give us free. That's what OJ said. And he has. And OJ's out on parole. And I guess I'm be honest with you. I hate to be it, but I'm halted between two opinions of OJ. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, if the man's guilty of the offense, he's guilty of the offense. Mm-hmm. All right. And so he's guilty of the offense for which he's charged with in this case was robbery, and he did it. But he served 9 years, and by all accounts, I don't know if I would exclaim him as a model prisoner, but no problem. And the person that he robbed was there in his defense, you know, saying, let him go. OJ's old, you know, he looks to be a bit more frail. To be honest with you, my thought was if they were really going to keep him any longer, it wasn't about that crime. It was about what happened with, you know, back in 94 in L.A. So, he's free. We'll see what happens. I hope don't nobody else take anything that belongs to him because we see what OJ will do with that.
Because we know he'll go and try to take it back.
Take it back. And then, you know, he says now he wants to live a good, clean Christian life and faith. We'll see.
There is no greater come to Jesus moment for people than going to jail.
Correct. That's all you got.
It's Jesus. Something about clang that makes people come to Jesus.
You're right. So that's why I said I'll see. I'm not going to be one of these people saying I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily happy for him. But it probably in this case it was probably the right thing to do, and you know I'll give the parole board there in Nevada credit because it'd been the easy thing to do would have been to just keep him in jail.
That's very
serve
true.
Full sentence, and that's what so many parole boards do. And in that case, I say, why even have parole boards if you're not gonna give people a legitimate chance at getting clemency? But on the other hand, like I said, OJ is just a twisted. But I am amazed. I was just with my family over the weekend. I am amazed somewhat at the number of black people who try to defend him,
right,
and justify him now. And I'm not ashamed to say I just don't get it. When if you go back and look at the special that I guess was it CNN or whatever that did on him, the series they did last year that got the wide acclaim, and he even OJ talked about himself. Of not believing in his blackness and that not making a difference and how it doesn't care. And so I am amazed now at how many black people have who like in my family who were so adamantly opposed to him in the bygone years, in the murder years even, now have kind of like they've kind of become staunch defenders.
And I've been turning this over, and I think part of it was that during that trial it became racial, completely racial. People chose sides. Here's a black man with money finally able to get away or finally able to get justice, I guess. Mm-hmm. And people felt invested that way. Like they weren't cheering him specifically. Mm-hmm. They were cheering the fact that a black man walked into a courtroom with things largely stacked against him and was able to come out. But the takeaway line from that TV show was, I'm not black. I'm OJ.
Right. Exactly. Exactly what he said. I'm OJ. I'm not even a race. I'm just OJ.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying is, so who are we linking up to? And I don't know that even deep down, if you could take him once he gets out of this prison setting, if you were to interview him right this minute, if he would view himself as a victim of any kind of racial play at all. It just to him is just the way things are. And so I'm just a bit confounded, I guess, if you will, by the number of black people who now have just jumped to rally to his side as if, you know, he's the great black, you know, icon leader of some sort. That like, yeah, OJ did it for us. OJ doesn't think he did it for us. OJ think he did it because of OJ.
OJ didn't star in those airplane movies for us. I mean, he didn't run the ball for us. You know, I at the time, I remember where I was working and I was like, somebody's like, oh, you're not, everybody was cheering. And they're like, you're not part of that. And I was like, did OJ pay my light bill this week?
Right, exactly.
I was not getting a check from him. I don't think
people understand how those things, you know, they just don't understand how those things work, and everything has a reaction or some kind of interaction mm-hmm. that goes on. And so you get a situation where, yeah, everybody's all excited for OJ and everything like that, but OJ's not even excited for us. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he would even, you know, I don't get a big thing of OJ saying, yeah, y'all come rally to my side, I've seen the light or anything like that. It's like, oh, well, and I'm like, I don't really want to waste any more of my efforts. I'm glad he's free.
Yeah,
I'm glad he's free for the sake of righteousness
and for his children. And you know, you're right. I think in that if the parole board had kept him, number one, it calls into question their role even.
Correct.
And number two, I guess it'd be like a makeup Oscar. They're like, they're like, we didn't get you for this one, but we gonna get you for this one.
Well, then somebody better call Eddie Murphy.
Yes, because he was robbed.
Yeah, right, and we gonna get some makeup going on. get Eddie something.
Right, he was robbed. Poor Eddie. I started just make him an Oscar and send it to him. that time he was nominated for the Dreamgirls movie. After he lost, he just left.
He did. No more need be said.
He got him a left.
That was robbery, though. He should have got that.
Yeah, because he was really good as James Thunder early.
He's not gonna do any better than that ever. That was just.
Hey, he was even good as all of those clumps. I mean, just the fact that he did all of them.
That's true.
So,
that's true.
I mean, we had so many black men in the news.
Yeah.
In the past few weeks, yeah. I mean,
who else we got?
Oh. R. Kelly.
Robert?
Robert. Yes. Aura. Honey, that man, I mean, I'm trying to figure it out. On one hand, okay, for those of you who may not know, R. Kelly, the same guy who wrote the initial story about him having sex with an underage girl and urinating on her, wrote another story alleging that he's holding women in his houses all over the country, dictating what they wear, who they talk to, when they eat, when they bathe. And it sounds like I don't know what it sounds like. It sounds like
it sounds nasty.
Right.
That's what it sounds like, Donna. I call it what it's nasty. That's what your mama, my mama, that what they said. That's just plum nasty.
Just nasty.
And it's just nasty. Mm-mm. And you know the thing that good about
R. Kelly. I was trying to be gentle.
Well, think about R. Kelly. How long? How long, right?
It's been 20 years?
I feel like a Jesse Jackson thing. How long? Right. Well, let's go on. I mean, how long? How many years do we have to keep hearing about
yes.
R. Kelly and
yes.
what's going on? And who
That's
else would
thing.
Be able to stand up with that kind of scrutiny? I'm just amazed that he's never even been on trial with any of this stuff.
Everything gets thrown out.
Yeah, to get a trial. But this is just, you know, come on, folk. I want to say, who stands up for this?
Right.
Who stands up for this?
And it goes even deeper than that, because it's like, if this were Becky with the good hair, he'll be under somebody's jail every chance they
definitely.
Got. And I'm not shy about saying that.
Definitely.
But these are young black women who nobody's checking for.
Definitely.
Except for their parents. And they're begging people to help them. And they're like, oh, she's above the age of consent, the one that's talking, the 19-year-old.
Well, it don't make any difference. It's still nasty. Even the idea that you would put a person under the age of consent through the things that have alleged that have gone on there, those things even of themselves are just they're just brutal.
Well, and we have the paper trail from Aaliyah when she was 14.
Correct.
I mean, so that was the beginning of it. We know it's true.
And these folks go out and make songs about this. Age ain't nothing but a number.
Right.
You know, my kids, they not underage now, but they're underage. Age have to be something more than a number with me.
Yes.
I mean, age going to be your grave site. This is what it's going to be. So, you know, it's just, you just got to get, some people you have to call right, right, and wrong, wrong.
Yes.
You just have to. And until, you know, we get to those steps and stages, we're going to allow things to go on. And even, I agree with you that in certain cases and certain people, we know that this probably not, it would not have been allowed. I think it also would not be allowed if we made more of an outcry.
If we made more of an outcry.
Where we were to say, we are not going to defend you. We're not going to make an excuse.
We're not going to buy your albums.
Right.
We're not going to come to your
concert.
Because
that's who's buying his, that's who's keeping him in the money is us.
Because his show at American Airlines Center was full of people.
Correct. And that's my point. People are going to listen. They're buying and stuff. And even now, some of my friends who like him are still kind of like saying, well, you don't know. I'm so tired of us not knowing the whole story. I know enough.
I know enough.
How far you got to break in my house for me to know you don't mean me no good, right? You got to get the TV set, the bedroom set, the everything else for me to know you
look,
a thief.
And I don't get mad until you get the picture of my child. It's like, you got all this other stuff in the back of your car.
Correct.
But I don't get mad till you get this one thing.
Right.
I don't understand.
That's my point.
And then the other thing, too, is that people are trying to default to blaming the parents. To me, that's akin to blaming the victim in a shooting.
Yes.
It's like, I'm sorry. So the parents are probably a little, more than a little misguided and stupid here. Because number one, I don't care what kind of opportunity R. Kelly might have afforded my child to advance her singing career. We got other ways to get that career going.
Correct.
This is YouTube now. I can just put enough videos out
there.
And she's okay. I don't need to take my good looking child back or my ugly child backstage to see R. Kelly.
Right.
Because for all I know, he got an ugly fetish.
Correct. It's
I'm just not the one.
Yeah.
And so, it's bad all around, but why deflect from him to then put the blame on the parent for putting your child in that orbit?
Right, wrong is wrong.
And if
parents
they both
have some responsibility, but he did wrong. And those things that are going on are just, those just things.
I mean, he snuck her out of her door. He intentionally told her to sneak away from her parents and take a flight to a show of his, and then they didn't see her again.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
It was like, and this stuff has been proven. We got the paper trail with Aaliyah. Yeah. And I don't, you know, so what? The Ignition Remix has got a good beat and it's easy to dance to.
Exactly.
I get that.
Exactly. But okay. After that, let's move on. Wrong is wrong. Right is right.
And you got to pick your side here.
We got to stand up for. And there are a lot of people who are talented, perhaps even more talented than him, who are not getting chances, not getting opportunities, and trying to do things the way that they should be
They're
done.
They're trying.
And we're missing out, and we're going to stand for this. I just say,
and there are so,
you got to take a stand.
Yeah, and there's so many of these talented men out there who, well, they claim talent, but there's a few whose movies I'm just not there for. But the Carmichael Show did an entire episode about Bill Cosby, and they were saying that one of the characters gave another character Bill Cosby tickets for the anniversary, and she's like, okay, the reality is you have to drug me to get me to go to see Bill Cosby live. And Carmichael Show looked at it from every point of view, and in the end they came to the conclusion, they didn't come to a conclusion, because they were sitting there going, well, who can we watch? Somebody said Woody Allen. They're like, nope, can't watch him.
Nope.
Roman Polanski, nope, can't watch him. You can't. I mean, when you start going down the list, why do we keep giving these men passes?
Same reason we do with athletes who get in trouble. As long as they feed a particular thing that we like, we set aside, you know, we set aside whatever flaw they may have, and make excuses for them. Well, they're not role models, mm-hmm. or we don't pay to see them do that particular thing, or, you know, that's got nothing to do with me, or other, the one I hate the most, everybody else is doing it. You know what I mean? And they haven't prosecuted them, so why are we getting upset about
right.
it? So we keep making excuses. The problem with making excuses is that when things necessarily fall back to you, then it becomes a whole situation where you can't stand against anything because you allowed it on this end.
Right.
So, you know, so which is it? Is somebody brought up the idea now where in the Russia investigation where Jared Kushner is talking about how all this keep going back and forth, it means to invalidate the voters who voted for Donald Trump. But someone on CNN was making the point that says, okay, so does that mean that when Donald Trump kept bringing up the idea of a birthing issue with Barack Obama, that it invalidated the votes? Is that what you're saying now? That mm-hmm. you were trying to So which is it? What's your point? Where do you stand? That's right. why I say you have to stand for right when it's right, and you have to stand against wrong when it's wrong.
No matter where it comes from.
No matter where it comes from or who it comes from, right? So therefore, when you do stand up for whatever you stand up for, people are more apt to pay attention to you and go with your side. But when it's like, I'm going to base it on gender or race or my faith, or they go to my church, or they mm-hmm. go to my school, or they my brother, whatever it is, then you lose the credibility to stand. Because I'm like, well, I know which way you're going to go because I know how you feel about that.
Right. So why even engage you?
Correct. Correct. So, and I'm not going to even pay attention to right. your argument because I know your argument is not based on anything fair or justified or truthfulness. It's just based on something that you're trying, some point you're trying to make. And that's the thing about it is we got to get there.
We really do have to get there. I mean, it's so much. And you could tie R. Kelly to the local, the Glen Heights councilman. I mean, because you can kind of equate the two if you go all the way back in R. Kelly history. So we're denigrating this, probably the same person that's in one breath dancing to step uh-huh. in the name of uh-huh. love
uh-huh. Uh-huh.
is deriding this man.
Yeah, right, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. You got to get both out. If this guy in Glen Heights, you know, again, you know, we believe in the justice system. So it's just an allegation and we'll see how right. it goes. But if it turns out to be true, I mean, my goodness, what is it? You know, what yeah. is it? These are children to begin with.
Right.
These are children.
And we
where's your mindset to even like dealing with children? Deal yeah. with adults.
And you know what? And I'm not, Lord knows I'm not blaming a parent, because parenting is hard, especially mm-hmm. right now. Because it's coming at your kid from every corner.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I got an 8-year-old already worried about her weight because it's coming at her from every corner.
Oh,
you know, she's exercising every chance she gets.
Oh,
cause
my God, really?
It's just, yes, it's amazing. But it's because she's hearing more of media and more YouTube and more mm-hmm. everything else mm-hmm. than she can hear my voice. And yeah. I'm sure it's the same with other parents out there. And they're just trying to help their children the best way they know how. But at some point, we do have to look at the parenting that we're doing. How is your 15-year-old continually spending the night at a man's house after she has told you what he's doing to her?
Yes, after he's told her. That's the question.
She's like, after, my dad knows about it. What?
Exactly. What?
And so, so right then, it's like, I try not to victim blame. But when the child herself says, well, my dad knows about it, and the dad acknowledges knowing about it, but he sends his child back in the lion's den.
But it's not the child is the victim. You're not blaming the victim.
Right.
We're blaming the people, because to me, in a case like that, dad or mom or the parent, whomever yeah. that adult is just as liable as the person that's actually
that's
committing the act,
it.
Right?
Yes.
They are part and parcel, and they both ought to face, to me, the same kind of judgment and scrutiny, right? You did it, but I'm the adult. I'm supposed to be there, to protect my, it's my child, so I should be there protecting my child, first of all, and then beyond that, I should be about trying to better community by getting rid of people who might be like that, whether they're attacking my child or your child or the child down the street or child across town. if I'm doing the right thing for my community, mm-hmm. I should be standing up. And we don't have enough people standing up and say this is wrong in our community and it needs to go.
Right.
And people like that need to go.
Yeah. I mean, I feel as old as the Rock of Truth out in front of our building. But if I were to pick up a phone and call a couple of my big cousins right now and say right. something like this was happening to me, as old as I am,
right.
they would take care of it.
Correct. Correct.
I don't understand how you send your child back into that.
We just lost the,
We lost the
filter, parameter, barrier, whatever it is that would just make people, like people hear things like this now, even when we report them in the news and folks don't recoil in horror anymore.
Right.
They don't go, oh my God. And they're just kind of like, really? Oh, that's too bad. Kind of almost like, you know, you spill bleach on your new pair of shoes or something. Like, you know what I mean?
But like, you know what? I think it's like deadening of the senses. I had a biology teacher who would always talk about fatigue of the senses. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember, you know, we wanted to know how come this dude, everyone else knew he smelled. Why didn't he know he smelled? And she said because he had gotten used to it. Mm-hmm. And so I've started applying that to other things. As this, we see R. Kelly, right? And that's been going on so long. Then when we see this, it's like, oh, okay, we're dead into it. And it's just, it's really sad. I mean, you want to read more about that? We have it on DallasNews.com. Okay, a little lighter.
Let's go lighter.
Michael Vick opened his mouth to say something.
What Mike say? I might defend Mike a little bit, but what'd he say?
He told Colin Kaepernick, if you got rid of that afro and cleaned up your personal appearance, perhaps you could get an NFL job.
That won't happen.
Right.
That won't happen because they're not going to hire Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
But let me say this about Colin. I want an avenue to say it. I don't know if 2000 or 20 minutes. I want an avenue to say this about Colin Kaepernick, though.
Say it.
Colin Kaepernick said that he knelt
mm-hmm.
for a reason.
Yeah.
Right? He had a thing in mind. There was a purpose behind him.
He took a knee for a reason.
He took a knee for a reason.
Yes.
That's what he took it for. Consequences, whatever.
Yeah. Whatever happens, happens,
right? That's what you do when you take a stand.
Yes.
As a result of the stand he's taking, apparently NFL owners are saying we are not going. Now, they're phrasing it in a kind of way, but we know what's up.
We know
they're
what's
saying
up.
They're not going to. And my thing is, people are saying it's not fair. They need to let him in. He has what I keep hearing over and over. He has the right. He has the full right. But they also have the right to say, because we don't like what you did, mm-hmm. we are going to keep you out. That's their right. He stood for a thing. Martin Luther King died for what he stood for. He was willing to give his very life. If that's the sacrifice that you have
to
make.
If he's willing to give away his livelihood.
There you go.
Then he's done it.
He's done it. He made a stand. When you decide to take a stand on an issue, you have to be willing as an adult to look beyond and say, what might be the possible ramifications for me taking the stand? It's not that I don't have the right to do it. Mm-hmm. I have the right to do what you might have the right to come here and tell your bosses exactly what you think. When they fire you,
right.
You've taken your stand. I took my stand, and on my stand, I perished. But I took it. And if that's the way it is, that's the way it is. And so, therefore, that's why I don't have the sympathy for Colin Kaepernick. Support your right to do what your protest did. I support you in your avenue. Mm-hmm. But then, again, I understand it. You know what? A consequence of what you did may mean they won't hire you.
And here's the other thing, though. Cap hasn't asked for anybody's sympathy.
Correct.
I haven't heard him ask for anybody's sympathy. And I haven't heard him ask Mike Vick for what he thought about his hair. Because that's some hair politics right there.
Yeah,
that's body policing.
Correct.
That's shaming a black man for what grows out of his head.
Yeah.
Come on, Mike.
Yeah, Mike probably misspoke. Oh, but I know what Mike's saying.
He came back and apologized
later. I know
later.
What Mike's saying that view, that particular look, might in some folk eyes appear too militant for us to deal with. But my point is, even if he was to come and cut his hair and have it all trimmed down,
he still would not get the job
because it's about his name and what he did. It is not about how he looked doing what he did.
Because what his name is shorthand for now is disobedient.
Correct. And being uppity.
And being uppity.
But that's the stand he took. That's my whole point. You took that stand, and so this is a result of the stand you took. And so sometimes there are consequences for you taking the stand, even when you have the right to do what you do, right? Yeah. You have the right to do it, and then other folks say, okay, you had the right to do what you did. I have the right to not like it and show my disapproval by doing X, Y, Z.
And if the people who don't like what you did hold the keys to your livelihood, then you're going to just have to find another avenue of employment.
Which is why so many other folks don't follow suit, because they maybe can't afford or don't want to go through what Kaepernick is going through, right? They're saying it's not worth it to me to lose endorsements, to lose money, to lose contracts over that. As they say, I'll make myself known in a different sort of way. I'll choose a different avenue. Well, what avenue is that? Well, I'm still working on some things.
Right.
You know,
which is why I admire Cap in the fact that through all of this, he has not asked for our sympathy.
So don't give it to him.
He has not asked for our sympathy. but it bothered me for some reason, I guess because I'm a happy nappy. I got my natural hair.
Yeah.
And it bothered me for another black person to reach out and say, not to me personally, but to say through the media towards me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it might have been better if it had been different. It could have been handled differently, even if that's what he thought.
He might as well have tweeted it to him.
Yeah. But I just don't think that that's going to solve the issue. And so you created yet another issue.
Because you know what? I could straighten my hair. And I'm still going to be black when I walk out this door.
Correct. That's what they're going to see first, last, and always. And with Kaepernick, all they're going to do, no matter how much he get his hair fixed, all you're going to do is see an endless clip of him taking a knee.
Of him taking the national anthem.
You ain't going to see, it doesn't matter whether his hair is plaited. Let's face it, most of the other folk don't understand what we doing when we have plaited, loose, straight, comb.
They just know it's different every time they see us.
And they're going like, oh my God, how long did that take you to get that done?
Right.
So
they just not recognizing weave when they see it.
That's it.
So, like, oh, your hair grown so fast. Yeah, overnight. But honey. Okay, speaking of hair.
All right.
One more light. Did you see the Beyonce wax figure? I know you're a Beyonce stan like me.
Yes. It wasn't right. That ain't bae.
No, that ain't bae. And her bottom was flat. That ain't bae.
No, ain't no way. That's
no way. She looked like a strange mixture of Shakira, Britney Spears, Jennifer Lopez.
It didn't look like her. And that's
it
the
didn't
problem.
Look like her. They claimed it was lighting, and then they took it away and supposedly restyled it.
No, please.
They claimed it was lighting.
No, please.
It looked like they used.
She could have been in the middle of a cornfield, and that would have been too light. Come on now. It wasn't right. And I don't understand why, you know, we see these things in other areas where folk just don't get it right. I'm like, what are you trying to say?
She just
let people be who they are.
She just made one of the blackest albums ever made, Lemonade.
Right.
And then you unveil her wax figure and it's within half a minute of Becky with the good hair.
Correct.
It did not look like her.
Correct. I think, Dawn, it gets into these folks that come up with these visions like, we love you and we accept you, but we want to love you and accept you on our terms.
Yeah.
We want to make you comfortable with our friends and our folks. We're like, don't do that. We are who we are, and they claim. And if you like it, you like it. If you don't, just get on. I don't think Beyonce or Jay-Z either are sitting there saying, wow, we really got to try to make stuff sound good for you. It's like, it's out there. You like it. You like it. If you don't, you don't.
Well, it's like I was teaching some kids about writing this past weekend, and I was telling them, I was like, art, once it leaves you,
Mm-hmm.
It's up to the person receiving it.
Correct.
You're done with it once it's gone.
Correct.
And that's you just have to, they take it or they leave it. And that's just how that is. But supposedly she had, you know, right of approval or something for this wax figure. But can you imagine Beyonce's life? She probably took a look at it and did a check mark and pushed it off.
Did she even see it? You know, she got people for that. She probably got people's for that. You know what I mean? So something like that does not even, something like that she wouldn't even see at all. You know what
and
I mean?
And she might say even, she saw it just to give it a stamp.
Like, because it doesn't matter in her her life. It really doesn't. But it does matter in the overall appearance. But for them, it's like.
It mattered to Black Twitter, and we know that's all that matters.
Snap on that.
Right. So, okay. Sean Spicer resigned.
I'm going to just say see ya.
Right?
Yeah.
And the new dude.
Mooch.
Didn't we know Mooch before now? It's kind of like a Democrat stand for Hillary.
Mooch. Who knows, man? Who? Anything going on, you know, in Washington, D.C. right now?
I don't even want to talk about it much because.
You just can't really explain anything.
Yeah.
And every time you think you do understand, even a little bit, something else comes up that defies explanation.
And it's like every minute. So I was telling someone, I was talking about this show, and I was like, yeah, I used to talk about politics so much. And now I feel like I can't, because as soon as I walk out the door, something else happens.
And something else is changing. And I don't know that we've seen the end. We definitely haven't seen the end of it.
I mean, when I saw that he had declared that he surely had the right to pardon his family and himself. I'm like, so you getting ready for something?
But he claims he's not. and everybody claims, no, I'm not planning this. So then where does it come from then?
Then why are you asking?
Why are you even saying that you got a right to do it if you're not thinking about doing it?
Right. Why is that a question?
It done nothing wrong, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Okay. Big ups to the DPD chief.
Yeah, we do need to say that. Congratulations.
That's all right.
Welcome to Dallas.
Welcome.
Sister, come take your place. Now we got, Black police chief.
Yeah.
Black DA,
Hispanic sheriff.
So when y'all get locked up now, y'all know who to call.
Y'all know who to call. And y'all know they ain't playing.
You know they ain't playing.
Because that's some Black mama stuff right there.
You know they ain't playing. And they going to be able to tell you what really happened. When you go with them stories, they going to know. So
yeah.
We wish the best. DPD, the police officers here and in fact really around the country, have been under incredible stress.
They have been.
And we know in the last year here in Dallas with the deaths of 5 officers, really the ambush of 5 officers, it's been a difficult time. So my hope is this young lady will come in from Detroit, which has had its own set of toughness. You know, when I heard Detroit,
yes.
I'm like, okay, now Detroit, now that ain't no plaything itself.
No, not a thing.
Come here. And if she can turn it around a little bit, at least stop people from leaving the force.
Right.
And
that was my first
force.
That was my first thought.
And to maintain, despite what they say about David Brown, to maintain the good relationships within the minority communities, that would be a plus on her side. So I'm hoping for the best, because who wants a bad police department, right?
Nobody
wants a police department that doesn't work?
Did you see the signs up in... I saw a story from the Star Tribune in Minnesota, and fake signs have been showing up in neighborhoods warning of easily startled police.
Oh, wow.
People, y'all crazy.
Oh, wow. That is something.
Yeah. Right.
What can we say?
Right. Y'all crazy. Listen, there's tons more at DallasNews.com. I am Dawn Burks. I'm at Dawn Burks on Twitter. That's D as in Dawn, A-W-N, B as in boy, U-R-K-E-S and Sel.
I am Selwyn Crawford, and I'm at DMNS Crawford, S-C-R-A-W-F-O-R-D. So, hope you enjoyed it. We love you all.
We do. We want you to come back. We want you to talk to us, okay? What are you watching? What are you thinking about? What do you want us to know? Heck, we'll even come sit on your front porch if you want.
Oh, wow.
Ben, what about that? Ben said, no, we won't sit on your front porch.
We won't sit on your front porch, but, you know, we may sing your rocking chair.
Because that might sound like a threat to some of y'all. Anyway, I'm so glad you took the time to listen to us and join us. Next time, I'm going to have some TV picks for you. And we're going to have to talk about the Jordan Edwards cop charge and see what comes of that. More on that story at DallasNews.com. Catch you later. Bye-bye.